الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we're talking about issues related to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is that one, he will love Allah azza wa jal. And greater than that is that Allah, he will love, that Allah, he will love a person. And in order to obtain the love of Allah azza wa jal, a person, he must be sincere in following the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following his way by learning his creed and belief, methodology, and what he was upon, and worship and conduct and manners and dealings and contracts, that which is permissible and impermissible, and strive to abide by that in one's life, in public and in private, and prefer that way. And prefer that way. In this manner, a person he can obtain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. A person who can obtain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. It has been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثُ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, that there are three affairs, whoever has them, whoever obtains them, then he will find by way of them the sweetness of faith. ثَلَاثُ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, that there are three affairs, three issues, that whoever obtains them, whoever has them, whoever obtains them, whoever has them, he will find by way of them the sweetness of faith. The sweetness of faith. This issue here is of utmost importance. Al-Iman lahu halawa. Al-Iman lahu halawa tudhaqu bil-qalb. Tudhaqu bil-qalb. That sincere faith, it has a sweetness. It has a sweetness that is tasted by the heart. It has a sweetness that is tasted by the heart. So just as the tongue is able to taste the sweetness of food and enjoy that, likewise the heart is capable of tasting the sweetness of faith and enjoying that, and enjoying that. But just as if a person, he is sick, if a person, he is sick, many times the sweetest of food will become bitter to him, and he will not be able to taste that nor enjoy it. Rather, many times he will refuse it, and it will seem repulsive to him, and he will not like it. The sweetest of food, the most delicious of food, a person who is sick, while he is experiencing that illness, many times he will reject it, and he will not accept it. Or if he tastes it, it will not taste sweet to him, and it will not taste good. It will not taste sweet to him, and it will not taste good. So likewise, the sweetness of faith, whenever the heart is sound, whenever the heart is sound, it will taste it. Whenever the heart is sound, a person, he will be blessed and allowed to taste the sweetness of faith. But if the heart becomes corrupted, if the heart becomes sick by the shubuhat, by the misconceptions and innovations, misunderstandings in the religion and creed specifically, and likewise the methodology, or if the heart becomes sick by the shahawat al-muharrama, the impermissible lusts and desires, and starts to prefer to follow one's whims and to please oneself over seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, at this time the heart becomes corrupted. At this time the heart becomes corrupted and will not be able to taste the sweetness of faith. Rather, sometimes those sweet actions of faith will seem hard or repulsive. He will not like them anymore. And this is whenever the heart becomes sealed. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is something to strive for, to hope for, to desire, to be able to taste the sweetness of faith. And anyone who ever has experienced this in his life, he will realize that this is the peak of life. The best joy in life is that whenever the heart is about to fly out of the chest out of sincere faith and joy for being a Muslim. Sincere faith and joy for being a Muslim, a slave to Allah. Realizing that one is in need of Allah, and that Allah, He is the Lord, and that Allah, He has authority, and that Allah, He has command, and that Allah, He has all good in His hands, and He is the Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that moment, whenever a person submits and his heart breaks out of sincere faith before the majesty of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His authority, this is the best time in life. So to taste the sweetness of faith is a golden objective. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثُ مَا كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. Three affairs, whoever has them, he will find by way of them the sweetness of faith. The first one, أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا.
that Allah and His Messenger will be more beloved to him than anything else. That Allah and His Messenger will be more beloved to him than anything else. And Allah first and foremost, and then for the sake of Allah the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah alone is love for His sake. لا يحب لذاته إلا رب العالمين. لا يحب لذاته إلا رب العالمين. No one is loved for their very essence except for the Lord of the worlds. No one is loved for their very essence except for the Lord of the worlds. As for everyone else, then they are loved for the sake of the Lord of the worlds. They are loved for the sake of Allah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يحب في ذاته. لا يحب لذاته. He's not loved because he's not loved for his sake. It's shirk in mahabbah to love the Prophet for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not allowed. This is not allowed. Whether we love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the sake of Allah. So this love, again, is checked by the reins of the legislation. It's checked by the reins of the legislation. So we love Allah. This is the foundation. This is the fundamental. And this is the reality of the shahada and la ilaha illallah. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah, haqiqatu la ilaha illallah al-mahabba, tawheedul mahabba. To make the love sincerity and purity for the sake of Allah. To love Allah more than one he loves himself and his desires and his whims. And to love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And to love what Allah loves and whom Allah loves. So the first one that is love for the sake of Allah is the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first one who is loved that for the sake of Allah has the greatest portion of that is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until he mentioned in another narration by Anas radiallahu anhu, also mutafiqun alayhi, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min waladihi wa walidihi wa nasi ajma'in. Min waladihi wa walidihi wa nasi ajma'in. Not one of you will complete his faith. Not one of you will be a true believer until I'm more beloved to him than his child and his parent and all of mankind. Than his child and his parent and all of mankind. So one, he must love Allah Azza wa Jal more than everything. More than everything. And all the love is for the sake of Allah. And then he loves the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than he loves anything in this life for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. So this is the case. In order to taste the sweetness of faith, one, Allahu an yakuna Allahu wa rasuluhu ahabba ilayhi mimma siwahuma. That Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to him than anything else. More beloved to him than his mother and his father and his child and his job and his home and his wealth and his status and his rank and his own soul. And his own soul. Even in Sahih Bukhari, Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, innaka la habbu ilayya illa min nafsi. إِنَّكَ لَا حَبُّ إِلَيَّ إِلَّا مِنْ نَفْسِي. That indeed, O Messenger of Allah, you're more beloved to me than everything except for my own soul. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَا عُمَرْ حَتَّى أَكُنَ حَبَّ إِلَيْكَ حَتَّى مِنْ نَفْسِكَ. He said, no, you haven't reached the proper level. You haven't fulfilled the obligation until I'm more beloved to you even than your own soul. And he said, I swear by Allah, وَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَا حَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ نَفْسِي. He said, I swear by Allah, and يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَا حَبُّ إِلَيَّ حَتَّى مِنْ نَفْسِي. That indeed you are more beloved to me now, even than my own soul. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-an ya Umar. Al-an ya Umar. So this is the first case. This is the first point. The first issue in order to taste the sweetness of faith. That Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be more beloved to him than anything else. Whenever this is established, what proceeds from that? The second issue. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "And يحب المرء أن يحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله." And يحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله. He will love a person, and he will not love him for any other reason except for the sake of Allah. This is our issue here. رجلان تحابا في الله اجتمعا عليه وتفرقا عليه. That these people, they will be under the shade of the throne. And likewise, this is the means to taste the sweetness of faith. But the point to realize that this stems from the love of Allah. A person, he cannot love for the sake of Allah except if he truly loves Allah first. Except if he truly loves Allah first. Whenever the love is truly and purely for Allah, at this time he will love for the sake of Allah. At this time he will love for the sake of Allah. At this time his heart will come to life and he will be able to see the realities. And he will love people based upon his love for Allah. Based upon his love for Allah. So this is the second issue. So whenever the first one is established, the second one it follows. And the third one likewise follows along as well. And that is, وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ and yukdhafa fi an-nar, that he dislikes to return into disbelief or to fall into disbelief, just as he dislikes to be cast in the fire. Just like he dislikes to be cast in the fire. So these are the three points, the three issues that one must strive to obtain in order to taste the sweetness of faith. The first one is that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be more beloved to him than anything else. And then after that, that a person, he will love an individual, he will only love him for the sake of Allah, nothing else. No worldly reason is mixed with this love. It's sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah. Sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah. And along with that, he would detest to ever fall into disbelief in the same manner he would detest to be cast into the fire. In the same manner he would detest to be cast into the fire. This third point, what does that mean? What is being referred to here? To hate kufr. Sahih. No doubt about that. Some more ideas. Yani, for example, if somebody came to a believer, may Allah protect us and our family and the believers, and he put a gun on his head and he said, disbelief. I'm going to shoot you in the head. Huh? Is this what is being talked about here? Huh? What is being talked about here? And that place right there, if he said, I disbelieve, under this point here, would he be wrong? Why not? Illa وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Huh? Because here his heart is sound with faith. So he's only saying a statement of disbelief because he's in a state of coercion and he's forced to. So at this time, we have been given permissibility to make a statement of disbelief. That's not what is intended here. We're not talking about, these are two different issues. Sometimes when we read this narration, these ideas get mixed up in the minds of some of the believers. So that's one issue, this is another issue. So if at any time a person who was in a situation where his life was in danger and he has to make a statement of disbelief, it will be allowed for him. It will be allowed for him so long as his heart is content with faith. And he's saying that out of coercion. He hates what he's saying. And Ammar radiallahu anhu, Ammar ibn Yasir, and he was tortured. His mother was killed and his father was killed radiallahu anhum. And he was tortured and tortured until they made him curse the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after that, after being tortured physically, and they tortured him mentally until he finally could not take it anymore, and he said something bad. And then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in tears, worried about his faith, and he's clarifying that they made me, they did this until I said this thing about you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how is your heart? He said, my heart is full of faith. He said, it will not harm you. And this verse was revealed from Surah An-Nahl, and that is well known. So the point is that this is a rukhsa from Allah Azza wa Jalla, an ease in this certain situation. We're not talking about this here. What are we talking about here? That this thing will be in the heart of a believer, that he will hate in his heart to ever fall into disbelief. That in his heart, if you said to him that you have two choices, either you're going to be thrown in the fire or you're going to become a disbeliever, which one is more beloved? To be thrown in the fire. You understand that? This is more beloved. Not telling you, I'm going to throw you into the fire, except if you say, no, this is how one he thinks. This is his creed. He does not ever want to lose his faith. He does not ever want to lose his faith. He never wants to stop praying. He never wants to disbelieve and follow another way. He never wants to be a Christian. He never wants to be a Jew. He never wants to be a pagan. He always wants to be a Muslim. He loves Islam. Even if he's weak, even if he's deficient, even if he's tried by sins, he never wants to disbelieve. To be thrown in the fire is more beloved than disbelief. It's more beloved than disbelief. You understand this? In this manner, a person, he will reach the sweetness of faith. That he will love Islam, and he will love Allah, he will love the deen of Allah to this extent. Yani that he would hate to ever fall into disbelief, the same way he would hate to ever be cast into a fire. To be cast into a fire. Could you imagine somebody, would he ever be being cast into a fire? Well, that's the test for, right? The same way that one he would detest that, he should detest to ever disbelief. The same way he would don't ever throw me in a fire. Astaghfirullah. Don't ever throw me in. Nah. The same way he thinks like that. Don't ever disbelief. Like this is his creed. He loves his deen. He loves his Lord. He loves his Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No matter what problems he's facing, he doesn't ever want to leave Islam.
Wallahi, we never want to leave Islam. So this is the meaning here. In this manner, a person, he can taste the sweetness of faith. In this manner, a person, he can taste the sweetness of faith. The point is now, in our discussion, that to love others for the sake of Allah. So this only can occur, whenever one, he truly loves Allah Azza wa Jal. So some of the Salaf, they said, من عرف الله أحبه ومن أحبه أطاع. That whoever knows Allah, then he will love him. And whoever loves Allah, he will obey him. Whoever knows Allah, truly, knows him by his beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, knows him by his lordship and his authority and command and his majesty, knows him by his mercy and his kindness, knows him by his gentleness, subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows him by his legislation, knows him by worshipping him and calling on him and the response that he finds from him, knowing him by his signs and his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who knows Allah, he will love him. And the one who truly loves Allah, he will obey him. He would obey him. So some of the people of knowledge, they said, مَنْ اِدَّعَى مُحَبَّةَ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يَحْفَظْ حُدُودَهُ فَهُوَ كَاذِبٌ. Whoever claims that they love Allah and he did not preserve the limits of Allah, then he's a liar. And he meaning that his love for Allah is deficient. So when he truly loves Allah Azza wa Jal, it will carry him to preserve the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal. So from loving Allah Azza wa Jal is to love the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to love the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to love the messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to love the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, to love salah, to love zakat, to love sawm, to love the hajj, to love nasiha, to love the deen, to love the recitation of the Quran, to love to be kind to your parents, to love it even if sometimes you fall into sin in that, but you love it. You love it because it's beloved to Allah. To love the deen of Allah, this is the sign that one truly loves Allah Azza wa Jal. And truly respecting and honoring Allah Azza wa Jal and revering Allah, ta'zeem Allah Azza wa Jal, bi ta'zeemi awamirihi wa nawahihi. To truly honor and respect Allah Azza wa Jal and revere Him and magnify Him in the manner that is truthful and sincere, one, he will honor and respect and hold in high regards the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and the prohibitions. So if a person, he has no care and concern for the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he violates and perpetrates the prohibitions of Allah like they're nothing, this is a sign that his honor and respect and love for Allah is deficient. Had he honored Allah and loved Allah, then he will honor his legislation. And he will love the limits that he has set, and he will strive against his soul to abide by them. This is the sign of true love. This is the sign of true love. Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, rahimahullah, إِنَّمَا يَرْتِكَابُ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ وَالْإِخْلَارِ بِالْوَاجِبَاتِ يَنْشَعُ عَنْ تَقْصِيرٍ فِي مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَتَقْدِيمِ مَحَبَّةِ النَّفْسِ وَهَوَاهَا. That perpetrating the prohibitions and being deficient in performing the obligations only comes from deficiency in the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, and showing preference to the love of the soul and desires. So here we have a few signs. This is a great topic, and we can go into much detail. And it's a topic that deserves that, but we don't have time now. So we're going to summarize as much as we can. So we have now signs that a person, he loves Allah Azza wa Jal. Signs that a person loves Allah Azza wa Jal. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned, مِنْ عَلَامَاتِ حُبِّ الْعَبْدِ رَبَّهُ تَقْدِيمْ مَحَابِّهِ وَنْ خَارَفَتْ هَوَى. That a person, he will show preference to that which is beloved to Allah, even if it's in opposition to his desires. This is the case. And this is the mihak. And this is the scale. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he commands. And the soul, it commands. Sometimes the soul will command things that's in accordance with the command of Allah. Alhamdulillah, this is the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal, that the soul will love and like and desire to do things that are beloved to Allah. This is a blessing from Allah. Other times the soul will call a person. It would lure a person, it would entice a person to incline to that which is displeasing to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, this is the point where the love is tested. You understand? Whenever Allah commands something, and the soul commands something else. If a person, he were to slaughter his desires and strive against his soul and refuse to follow his whims and prefer the command of Allah, this is a sign of sincere love. If he ever turned away from the command of Allah and followed his desires at this time, he has shown preference at this moment to following his whims and desires, and this is a deficiency in his love for Allah. So implementing the commandments, this is going to decide the strength of the love in the heart. If it's pure, it would not follow the desires.
It will turn away from that. It will turn away from that, and it will prefer the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the people of Nar, as they say, فَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ إِثَارِ مَا أَحَبَّهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ عَبْدِهِ وَأَرَادُهُ مِنْهُ عَلَى مَا يُحِبُّهُ الْعَبْدُ وَيُرِيدُهُ. And these are benefits, I'm putting them in points from the statements of Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, from the explanation of this narration here that we're discussing about the sweetness of faith. So he says, yani that a person, he must prefer that which Allah loves from his slave and wants from him over that which the slave wants for himself and prefers. You understand that? A person, he must show preference. So there's a great issue here that's called ithar, al-ithar. So it's one thing to love Allah, but it's another thing to prefer the love of Allah. You understand? No doubt every believer, he loves Allah, but sometimes he might find himself in a situation at that moment he shows preference to his desires over the love of Allah. And this leads him to disobey. This leads him to perpetrate sin. This leads him to neglect obligations. You understand? This is the issue of love. This is the issue of faith. This is the issue of at-tawheed. This is the issue of at-tawheed. So it's incumbent for a person to show preference for that which Allah loves and wants from you over that which you want for yourself and that you love. In this manner, a person, he will truly be sincere and pure in his love for Allah. So likewise, the signs, فَيَجِبُ فَيُحِبُّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيُبْغِضُ مَا يُبْغِضُهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ وَالْأَحْوَالِ وَالْأَشْخَاصِ. That a person, he will love what Allah loves and he will detest what Allah detests from statements and actions and circumstances and people. This is the case. A person, he will love what Allah loves and he will hate what Allah hates from statements, backbiting, cheating, backbiting, deception, carrying tales, or statements of shirk, calling on the graves others besides Allah. He will hate that because Allah, he hates that, subhanah. And likewise, the actions. Actions, he will hate them likewise. So the statements, he will love and hate. He will love that which Allah loves and hate that which Allah hates from statements and from actions and from circumstances and situations and likewise from the people. So this is whenever the love is pure. وَمُوَلَاتُ مَنْ وَلَى اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَمُعَادَاتُ مَنْ عَادَاهُمَا. And that a person, he will have an allegiance for those who have an allegiance with Allah and His Messenger. Meaning he will love, and allegiance means to love. He will love, he will have an allegiance with him. He will be along with them. He will be friends with them. He will love them. He will cooperate with them. He will work with them. He will be in their company. He will be in their company, those who have an allegiance with Allah and His Messenger. And he will have enmity for those who have enmity for Allah and His Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what this requires. وَاتِبَاعَ الرَّسُولِ وَالتَأَسِّي بِهِ وَاكْتِدَاءُ أَثَرِهِ وَقَبُولَ هَدِّهِ قَبُولًا حَسَنًا. This is also from the signs one who truly loves Allah, that he will follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will take him as a role model, and he will follow his footsteps precisely, and he will accept his guidance in a good manner. He would accept the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a good manner. If a person was on one particular way, in his creed, in his belief, in his methodology, in his worship, in his manners, in his conduct, and then someone came to him with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and reminded him with that, if he already knew, or informed him of that and taught him about that, at this time he would accept it. At this time he would accept it and say, Jazakallahu khairan. This is what I was looking for anyways. This is what I was looking for anyways. Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. I follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I forgot this narration. Jazakallahu khairan for reminding me. Or you know what? I never even heard this hadith. Is it authentic? It's authentic. Allahu Akbar. Jazakallahu khairan. I'm going to follow it now. I'm going to follow it now. So this is the way of a Muslim, that he would accept the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he'll leave the customs of his people. He'll leave the customs and the cultures of his people when it's contrary to that guidance. And this is a great problem that we have today. A great problem in the Ummah, that many people, they're following customs and cultures in their society or from their homeland and the likes like this that are contrary to the Sunnah. That are contrary, they have no evidence. And then even many of them, they're reminded of these affairs and they reject and prefer the customs of their people and the cultures of their people and that which they're raised upon, even whenever they realize and see clearly that it's contrary to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either in creed or in worship or the likes like this. So a believer, a true believer who truly loves Allah Azza wa Jal, whenever he finds that his customs or his culture or what he was raised upon or what he was taught is contrary to the authentic narrations, he will leave his custom and his culture. He will leave what his father was upon before or his grandpa was upon before, and he will follow these narrations. He will follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the case. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that these are conditions. These are like conditions for the true love of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the true love of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, فَلَا يَتِمُّ مَحَبَّةُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِلَّا بِمَحَبَّةِ أَوْلِيَائِهِ وَمُوَالَاتِهِمْ وَبُغْضِ أَعْدَائِهِمْ وَمُعَادَاتِهِمْ. So the love of Allah Azza wa Jal will never be complete. The love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will never be complete until one, He loves the true believers and the allies of Allah, and He will have allegiance with them. And He detests the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal, and He will have enmity towards them. And He will have enmity towards them, meaning an enmity that is checked by the reins of the legislation, not violating the rights, but this is something that's in the heart. This is something that is in the heart. He will not like the disbelievers, and He will not like to be around them and be with them. And if He has to be with them, He will deal with them justly. He will deal with them justly, and He will display outward Islam in a good manner. Alhamdulillah. Maybe they'll accept Islam at His hands. Or if He deals with them, He's dealt with them kindly and justly, because this is what He's ordered. And also, hopefully, they will accept Islam from Him. Or if not, that He will leave a good image of Islam. And they will learn from Him that He's a Muslim, that He prays 5 times a day, and that He fasts in Ramadan. Like, for example, your co-workers, you have to see them. So you be kind to them, you be nice to them, but you don't hang out with them unnecessarily. You don't bring them close to you. You don't bring them close to you and learn their ways and follow their ways and the likes like this. Whether you deal with them in the manner that you have to while you're in your occupation and the likes like this, and then you move on. And they learn from you that you're truthful. They learn from you that you're honest. They learn from you that you're chaste. You don't talk about foul and lewd things. You don't look at images and the likes like this. They learn that from you. And your job with them. They know that you pray 5 times a day. They know that when Ramadan comes, you're fasting. These things, they learn that because they met a Muslim. So how many people have been guided just because they met a Muslim? Somebody asked me yesterday, how did you come to Islam? And I have one answer to summarize everything. Alhamdulillah, I met a Muslim. I met a Muslim. You understand that? So maybe somebody will meet you, barakallah fiqh, and then accept Islam. Maybe they will see you and your noble manners and your good way and the fact that you hold fast to your religion, regardless of what the people say. And this doesn't require for you to be harsh or for you to be rude or for you to be mean and the likes like this. Rather, you be kind and you be nice, but at the same time, you're not a disbeliever. You're not a Christian. You're not a Jew. You're not a Christian. You're not a Jew. I don't do Christmas. I don't do Easter. I don't do Halloween. I don't do Thanksgiving. I don't do 4th of July. I don't do this one. I don't do this. I'm a Muslim. Alhamdulillah. So you avoid that. You stay away from that. But at the same time, you live and give them their rights. He's your neighbor, you give him the right of the neighbor. He's your co-worker, you give him the right of the co-worker. You see him in the market, you give him the rights that he has. You give him the rights that he has according to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. According to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, ورجل دعت امرأة ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله. And a man who refuses the call of a charming woman of noble birth for illegal sexual intercourse with her and says, indeed, I'm afraid of Allah. And says, indeed, I am afraid of Allah. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this, that what is intended by al-mansib, imra'atun ذَاتُ مَنْصِبٍ وَجَمَالٍ. The mansib yani al-nasib wa sharaf wa rif'atu fi dunya. An-nasib yani the woman who has mansib yani she has a good lineage, a good lineage and nobility and high status in society. She's a woman who has a good lineage and she has honor and nobility and status in the society. فِي ذَجْتَمَعَ ذَلِكَ مَالَ جَمَالٍ فَقَدْ كَامُلَ الْأَمْرُ وَقَوِيَتْ الرَّغْبَةِ. So if this nobility and honor and high status and society is coupled with beauty, now the affair has been completed and the desires become strong. And for that woman, right? Not only is she beautiful, also she has honor and status. Also she's respected, has rank and power, right? Along with her beauty. This is even more dangerous and more of a reason for the soul to lust for her and to desire. So he says, وَإِذَا كَانَتْ هِيَ طَالِبَةُ دَعْيَةُ إِلَى وَإِذَا كَانَتْ هِيَ طَالِبَةَ دَعْيَةَ إِلَى نَفْسِهَا كَانَ أَعْظَمَ وَأَعْظَمَ. And if she is the one calling and enticing the person to herself, this is even greater and greater and greater. So here this is a woman, she has life, she has a lineage that is respected. She has honor and status and high position in society. And she's beautiful. And she's calling the individual to her
inviting him to herself, giving herself up for him. So this is even more severe, more severe.
So he says, فَالِمْتِنَاعُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ كُلِهِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى تَقْدِيمِ خَوْفِ اللَّهِ عَلَى هَوَى نَفْسِهِ عَلَى تَقْدِيمِ خَوْفِ اللَّهِ عَلَى هَوَى نَفْسِهِ.
And the fact that a person, to this extent, he's able to refuse and he's able to refrain from this desire here, this is a clear indication that he's showing preference and putting forward the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the love of his desires, putting the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal over the desires of his soul. وَصَاحِبُهُ دَخِلٌ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى.
And the person who does the likes of this, he's included in the statement of Allah the Most High. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى نَفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى.
And as for the one who fears the standing before his Lord and forbids his soul from its desires, then indeed the paradise will be his destination and abode, will be his abode. So this is the great benefit of fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. Fearing Allah in public and in private. The people of knowledge mentioned that this is, Allah knows best, this is happening in private. And the woman is calling him to her when no one is watching, when the eyes of the people have turned away, and no one can see him except for his Lord, and he remembers that. No one knows his circumstance except the woman calling him and his Lord, and he remembers Allah Azza wa Jalla and says, Inni akhaf Allah. He said, No, I'm afraid of Allah. I fear Allah. He checked his soul at this time by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for this reason, he reached this high and lofty status. So this is a great benefit. We must fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. We must remember Allah, His power and authority. We must remember Allah, His favor and His blessings. That if we're going to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla, it will be with nothing except His favors and blessings. It will be with nothing except His favors and blessings. We cannot disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla except with the blessings He has bestowed upon us. If we disobey with Allah with our tongue, it is Allah who provide for our tongue. With our eyes, it is Allah who provide for our eyes. With our hands, with whatever parts of our body we use to disobey Allah, these are all favors and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So we should be shy to disobey our Lord with His favors and blessings. We should be shy to disobey our Lord with His favors and blessings, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that the greatest means to refrain from sin is to remember that Allah, He can see you. To remember that Allah, He knows your circumstance and situation. To remember that Allah, He hears you. This is the greatest means to stay away from sin and to check the soul. To truly know Allah Azza wa Jal, and to know that He can hear you, and to know that He can see you. And to know likewise that you're going to return to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَرَجُلٌ تُصَدَّقَ بِصَدَّقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَارُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. And a person who practices charity, so secretly that his left hand does not know what his right hand has given. Meaning nobody knows how much he has given in charity. وَرَجُلٌ تُصَدَّقَ بِصَدَّقَةٍ. بِصَدَّقَةٍ. This is a noun, right? Had the ism, right? How do you know it's an ism? Tanween. Had I met an ism? A tanween. What does the tanween mean? Nakira, right? It's nakira. Now the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the word that's nakira has a general meaning. It has a general meaning. So what is included here? Al-qalil wal-kathir min as-sadaqah. Then a person who gave a charity, whether it's a lot or a little. A lot, a little, all of this is included. All of this is rajulun tusaddaqa bi-sadaqah. Yashmal al-qalil wal-kathir min as-sadaqat. Yani that this is, and he hides it, whether it's a large amount or whether it's a small amount, he's always striving to hide and conceal the charity that he's giving until his left hand does not even know what his right hand has spent. Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, rahimahullah, هذا دليل على قوة الإيمان والاكتفاء بطلاع Allahi ala al-abdi wa ilmihi bihi. This is an evidence of his strong faith. This is an evidence of his strong faith. And that he sufficed with the fact that Allah sees him. And Allah knows. And he doesn't care if anybody else knows. Rather, he does not want anyone else to know. He's doing these righteous and good actions. Giving this money that he loves.
Right? Is it allowed to love money? Huh? We talked about this yesterday. Yeah. If it's in your hand, yes, you could love money. But when does loving money become a problem? Whenever it causes you to disobey Allah. Now you love the money more than Allah. Now whenever the money causes you to disobey Allah, now loving money is a problem. Loving your child, loving your wife is allowed, but whenever you disobey Allah because of them, now there's an issue. Now there's an issue. This is what we're just discussing. So the person, he loves money. A person, he loves money. He loves his dollar. Especially the big one, $100, right? He loves that. But although he loves that, he loves Allah more. And he gives it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He lets what he loves go for that which is more beloved to him. And it's so beloved to him, he does not want anyone else to know. Because then it's possible that his love could be misled. And that his intention could be corrupted. So he's striving to do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. He does not want anyone to know. He's sufficing with the fact that Allah knows, because this is what he's looking for. So this is a sign of strong faith. This is a sign of strong faith. Because many people, they love for their charity to be known. They like, for example, mashallah, this brother, he's so generous. Like if you hear that, you feel good. Alhamdulillah. Even if you're so generous, alhamdulillah is the truth. But this is something that the soul that likes. The soul likes to be praised. The soul likes for people to think good about. To think good about it. And the likes like this is something that's desirable. And something that we're tried with. And this is the point. So he says, وَفِيهِ مُخَالَفَةٌ لِلْهَوَى وَمُجَهَدَةٌ لِلنَّفْسِ فَإِنَّهَا تُحِبُّ إِظْهَارَ الصَّدَقَةِ وَالتَّمَدُّحَ بِهَا عِنْدِ الْخَلْقِ. And in this likewise is striving to oppose, is being in opposition to the desires and striving against one's soul. Because indeed the soul it loves to display charity and to be praised for it by the people. فَيَحْتَاجُ إِلَى قُوَّةٍ شَدِيدَةٍ تُخَالِفُ هَوَى النَّفْسِ تُخَالِفُ هَوَى النَّفْسِ. So, in order to do this, a person, he needs great strength in order to oppose his desires. It has been narrated by Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhuma that he said himself, يعني هذا حديث موقوف موقوف عن ابن زبير. This is a narration ascribed to Ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhuma. من استطاع منكم أن يكون له خبأ من عمل صالح فليفعل. That whoever is able from you to have some خبأ, يعني some word is خبيء من عمل صالح. Whoever is able from you to have some righteous actions that no one knows about at all, except for Allah, then do it. And this is great advice. This is great advice that we should strive to have some deeds that we do that no one knows about. No doubt there are some actions that we must do and that people know about it. Like what? Like Hajj and like the Salah, the 5 days, the congregational prayer. Even some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this narration here is in reference to the non-obligatory charity. As for the obligatory charity, then it's preferred to do it outwardly so that people see it and so that it's established and that it's a right and the people follow in that. Allah knows best. But in any case, no doubt there are certain actions that are done in congregation. There are certain actions that are done in front of the people, and it's legislated in this manner. So we should strive to have some actions that we do, voluntary deeds that are for the sake of Allah, no one knows about them. Whether if it's a dollar, or whether if it's some type of help, or whatever the case may be. Any way to do some actions of goodness, some actions that are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, by performing them or by avoiding and refraining from them. And the likes like this, that no one knows about Allah Azza wa Jal, and you do it for His sake alone. This is from the means to preserve the faith, and from the means to, inshallah, secure one's faith that he will not disbelieve. By having these righteous deeds that no one knows about except for Allah. And striving for that, this is a means to keep the faith strong, to keep the faith healthy, to keep the faith alive and good in the heart of a believer. من استطاع منكم أن يكون له خبأ من عمل صالح فليفعل. Whoever from amongst you is able to have some righteous deeds that no one knows about, some hidden righteous deeds no one knows about, then let him do that. So this is great advice. This is narrated by Ibn Abi Shayba. What's the name of his book? Huh? Al-Musannif, mashallah. He beat you. Jazakumullah. Al-Musannif, Ibn Abi Shayba. There's another book called Al-Musannif. By who? Abdul Razzaq. Ahsant. When did Ibn Abi Shaybah died. 235. Abdul Razak. 211. Huh? You got it? 211. Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. Jazakum Allah khairan. Jazakum Allahu khairan. It has been collected by Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kulli mri'in fi dhilli sadaqatihi hatta yufsala bayna an-nas. Aw qala hatta yuhkama bayna an-nas. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that every individual, meaning on the day of resurrection, will be under the shade of his charity until the people are judged, until the judgment occurs between the people and the decision is made between the people. So again, this is another opportunity. This is a different narration than what we're discussing here. Every individual, كل امرئ تحت ظل صدقته. Every person will be under the shade of his own charity. Of his own charity. So if you give charity to your brother and he's in need, are you helping him or are you helping yourself? You're helping him, but you're really helping yourself. No doubt you're helping him. But in reality, if you're sincere, you're only helping yourself. So whatever good you do, you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for yourself. Alhamdulillah, and you're the one that's going to reap the goodness of that. If you do it sincerely for the sake of Allah, you're the one that's going to benefit. You're the one that's going to benefit. قُلْ امْرِئِنْ فِي ظِلِّ صَدَقَتِهِ حَتَّى يُفْصَلَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَوْ قَالَ يُحْكَمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And there are two narrators here. One of them is narrating from Uqba. His name is Abu Khair. And there's another one who is his student is narrating this from Abu Khair. And his name is Yazid ibn Abi Habib. So it's a benefit to read the chain sometimes. And in this particular narration, the Yazid ibn Abi Habib, he's narrating about Abu Khair. Narrating about Abu Khair, and what he learned from his teacher. His teacher, Abu Khair, is telling him what the companion heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then look how it affected him. So he says, قَالَ يَزِيدُ وَكَانَ أَبُو الْخَيْرِ لَا يُقْطِئُهُ يَوْمٌ إِلَّا تَصَدَّقَ فِيهِ بِشَيْءٍ وَلَوْ كَعْكَ أَوْ بَصَرَ أَوْ كَذَا. He said that Abu Khair, not one day would go by except he would give charity with something. Either it was a piece of a cake or an onion or something like that. And every single, anyone, he's known narrating this hadith. So because of his strong faith and belief in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that his promise is true and that his narration is haq, that he applied that in his life, and a day would not go by after he heard the narration except he gave in charity. Even if it's a cake and a pastry or an onion or something, anything, you just give it in charity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Every individual is going to be under the shade of his own charity. So therefore, this is a great encouragement to do charity so that you can have shade on the day when there's no shade. On the day when the people are tried. On the day of resurrection, for yawmin azim. Yawma yakumun nasu li rabbil alameen. So this is a great way to work for the hereafter, to give charity, hoping to have shade on the day of resurrection, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this issue here, like the one coming after this, is related to fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla specifically in private. And the Salaf, they used to advise that one, he should strive to be more upright. And يكون أصلح في خلواته منه من جريته. That he should strive to be more upright and pious and fearing of Allah Azza wa Jalla whenever he's alone, even than whenever he's in public. That he should strive to fear Allah with his eyes, with his tongue, with his ears, with his heart, with his stomach, and with his desires, with his whims, even more in private than in public. Even more in private than in public. Why?
Because only Allah is watching.
Because Allah, he can see you, wherever you are. So the one who is upright and well-mannered and disciplined with the legislation in front of the people, but whenever he's alone, he's loose. Whenever the eyes of the people are on him, mashallah, hadha rajulun salih, righteous brother, Allahumma barik, so well manners. But then whenever the eyes of the people are not on him anymore, what happens? He becomes loose. He types this and texts that. Now he's talking to this on the street. He lowers his gaze in his room. He's texting the sister or the woman in the light. Waliyadu billah, and conversating in the light. La. How, why? Why would that happen? A deficiency in faith. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, he can see you with the people or whenever you're alone, the same. So we should strive to implement our faith and actualize our iman whenever we're alone. Whenever we're alone, even more than whenever we're in front of the people. Even more whenever we're in front of the people. The Salaf, they did not like to be known. They did not like to be known for their worship. But many times, the one who does not want to be known, Allah makes him known. They're not looking for that. And again, a person, if he's not looking for that, it will not harm him. And if somebody is praised for his goodness or for his piety, for his noble manners, and that comes to him, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tilka ajilu bushra mu'min." This is the hastening glad tidings of a believer. If somebody praised another person, he should not worry. This is the glad tidings from Allah hastening for him that he's upon khair in this life. But also, he should not be deceived. He should not be deceived. But a person, he's not looking for that. He's not wanting that. He's not happy with that. This is not what moves him. He's moving for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's moving for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. There's a beautiful story in the biography of Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 181. And he's from the best of the Salaf and from the scholars of the Hadith and the people of knowledge, as they said, huwa ka ismihi, Mubarak. Rajulun Mubarak. And they mentioned in his time that there was no one like him, that all of the attributes of goodness and piety and all of the attributes of honor and nobility, they're gathered in this man. And he was really like a noble individual. And it's mentioned that at one time they're in Tutus, and the Muslim army was in ranks with facing the disbelieving army. And in those days, whenever they would battle, they would have what is called Mubaraza. Al-Mubaraza. Al-Mubaraza was like one-on-one, a duel. Or sometimes it will be two and two, or three and three, and the likes like this. So one individual came out from the disbelievers, and he was very large and strong. And another one came out from the believers, and they had the mubaraza. And the disbeliever, he killed the believer. And another one came out, and he killed the believer. And another Muslim came out, and he killed him, until he killed six of them back to the back. And then he's walking around, prancing. He's walking around, prancing. And who else wants some? Like this. And Abdullah ibn Mubarak, one of the narrators' name is Abdullah ibn Sinan. He said he was next to me. He said that he looked at him and he wrapped around his garment around his face so no one could see him. He said, "Don't say anything." And he left and backed out. And next thing you know, there's somebody, he went to the front and he faced that man and he killed him. And then another one came and he faced that man and he killed him. And another one, until he killed six of them, Abdullah Mubarak himself. And then after that, he dipped back. And came back in, and he came back and put his horse right next to that guy again. And he said, and looked over to him, and he said, "Do not tell anyone so long as I'm alive, Ya Abdullah." And no one knew who he was. And he went out there and he handled the enemy himself with bravery and courage for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the only one person who knew, he came back to him. "Do not tell anyone that was me, so long as I'm alive. So long as I'm alive." So the Salaf, they used to be like this. Even there's narrations about Zain al-Abidin. Who knows him? Zain al-Abidin, what's his name?
Ali ibn Hussein
ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. He's the grandson of Ali radiyallahu anhu. He's the grandson of Ali radiyallahu anhu. So he's the son of Hussein, who's the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiyallahu anhu. So his name is Zain al-Abidin. And he the adornment of the worshippers because of his piety and his righteousness. Something that was not known about him until he died. Rahimahullah ta'ala is that he used to give charity. Sadaqah tusir. That there are many homes in Medina that the people they mentioned that they did not realize who was giving them charity until after he died. And there were houses that they would find charity, food on their doorsteps, night after night, time after time. And this continued, and they never knew who did it, and they only realized who was the person giving them charity whenever Zain al-Abidin died, because at this time the charity stopped. And so he was striving in this manner, radiallahu anhu, to give charity, looking out for the poor people, those in need, not waiting for them to ask. This is something we shouldn't do. We shouldn't wait for the people to ask. And you don't say, "Brother, do you need help?" You just help him. If you say, "Brother, are you hungry?" That means you don't want to give him any food, right? Right? If your brother, do you need some help? That's like you really don't want. No, you just help him. You just give him food. You don't ask him, "Do you need help?" Because he's going to say, "No, I don't need help. No, I'm not hungry. Barakallahu feek." You just give it to him, especially if you have any circumstantial evidence that he needs help or that he's in need or she's in need. And like this, you just help them without asking. You just help them for the sake of Allah without asking. So this is the point, that he would do this until, and no one would know that he's giving charity until he died, that it was him that's giving charity. Even they mentioned that those who washed his body, they found marks on his back. And whenever they're asking what this was, there was mentioned, some people who knew him said that this was from the
from carrying the bags full of food and groceries on his back to the doorsteps of the poor people, until it affected his shoulder and his back, and he had marks on his body, radiallahu anhu. So they used to be like this. They used to be like this, yani striving to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. Striving to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. After this, we come to the last individual, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, he says, وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. And the person who remembers Allah in seclusion, and his eyes flood with tears. And his eyes flood with tears. Ibn Rajab, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَهَذَا الرَّجُلُ يَخْشَى اللَّهَ فِي سِرِّهِ وَيُرَقِبُهُ فِي خَلْوَتِهِ وَيُرَقِبُهُ فِي خَلْوَتِهِ وَأَفْضَلُ أَعْمَالِ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ فِي السِّرِّ وَالْعَلَانِيَةِ. So that he says, this man here, he fears Allah in private, and he is observing and remembers Allah Azza wa Jal, and he realizing that Allah can see him and fearing him at that moment whenever he's alone. And the most virtuous of deeds is to fear Allah in private and in public. وَخَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ فِي السِّرِّ إِنَّمَا تَصْدُرُ عَنْ قُوَّةِ إِيمَانٍ وَمُجَاهَدَةٍ لِلنَّفْسِ وَالْهَوَى. And to fear Allah in private. To fear Allah in private. You understand that? To fear Allah in private, meaning to not disobey Him, to not transgress the limits, to not use the eyes in that which is impermissible, to not listen to that which is haram, to not text the one who is not lawful to text, any to have conversations with, and the likes like this. To fear Allah Azza wa Jal in private. In private, this only proceeds from having strong, sincere faith and from truly striving against the soul and the desires. فَإِنَّ الْهَوَى يَدْعُو فِي الْخَلْوَةِ إِلَى الْمَعَاصِي. Because the desires they call, whenever one is alone, to disobey Allah. The desires they call, yani whenever a person he is alone, to disobey Allah. وَلِهَذَا قِيلَ إِنَّ مِنْ عَزِّ الْأَشْيَاءَ الْوَرَعَةَ الْوَرَعَ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ. That's why some of the people of knowledge, they say, إِنَّ مِنْ عَزَّ مِنْ عَزِّ الْأَشْيَاءِ الْوَرَعَةَ فِي الْخَلْوَةِ. From the rarest of things is to have piety when one is alone. To have piety when one is alone. And he mentioned, رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ وَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ يَشْمَرُ ذِكْرَ عَظَمَتِهِ وَبَطْشِهِ وَانْتِقَامِهِ وَإِقَابِهِ وَالْبُكَاءُ النَّاشِعُ عَنْ هَذَا هُوَ بُكَاءُ الْخَوْفِ. And you need to remember Allah here. And because he says, رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا. A man who remembered Allah whenever he's alone. So he's saying, rahimahullah, that remembering Allah, this includes remembering the majesty of Allah and the power and authority of Allah, and the fact that Allah, He will take recompense and He will punish a person. So this crying here is proceeding from this, and this is the crying of fear. And he's mentioning that crying is different types. Sometimes a person, he will cry out of the fear of Allah, and he is afraid of the punishment of Allah. He remembers the authority and command of Allah. He will take admonition from reading that which happened to the previous nations before, and how they were destroyed, and how they were more powerful than we are, and they were wiped out, and they were destroyed, and they were humiliated, and made an example. So one, maybe he will realize his own sins likewise, and fear that, and fear Allah with regards to that, and then begin to cry. He says, وَيَشْمَرُ ذِكْرَ جَمَالِهِ وَكَمَالِهِ وَبِرِّهِ وَلُطْفِهِ وَكَرَامَتِهِ لِأَوْلِيَائِهِ بِأَنْوَاعِ الْبِرِّ وَالْأَلْطَافِ لَا سِيَمَا بِرُؤْيَتِهِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَالْبُكَاءُ النَّاشِعُ عَنْ هَذَا هُوَ بُكَاءُ الشَّوْقِ. And also it includes to remember the beauty of Allah, and the completeness and perfection of Allah, and the goodness and righteousness that Allah has done for the people, and His kindness and mercy, and His generosity that He has for His beloved allies, with all different types of righteousness and goodness, and subtle benefit and kindness, especially remembering the fact that one will see Allah in paradise. And this type of weeping here, it proceeds from the type of weeping of desire and yearning to meet Allah Azza wa Jalla. Desire and yearning to meet Allah Azza wa Jalla. So one time maybe a person is crying out of fear. Another time he's crying out of yearning to meet and to see Allah Azza wa Jalla. Crying to have mercy and blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Realizing the majesty and the greatness and the favors of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is a different type of crying. He says, وَيَدْخُلُ فِيهِ أَيْضًا رَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَهُ حَيْثُ مَا كَانَ فَتَذَكَرَ مَعِيَّتُهُ وَقُرْبَهُ وَاطِّلَاعَهُ عَلَيْهِ حَيْثُ كَانَ يَبْكِي حَيَاءً مِنْهُ وَهُوَ مِنْ نَوْعِ الْخَوْفِ أَيْضًا. And also included in this is a person, we remember that Allah is with him wherever he may be, and he's with him by his knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now he remember that Allah is near him and that Allah sees him. And near him meaning that Allah is near him with his knowledge, that Allah sees him, Allah is well aware of him. So now he will cry out of shyness from Allah Azza wa Jal. Now he will cry out of shyness from Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is also a type of fear. This is also a type of fear. It's been narrated by Tirmidhi and also An-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يلج النار رجل بكى من خشية الله حتى يعود اللبن في الضر. That a man who cried out of the fear of Allah, he will not enter the hellfire until the milk goes back into the udder. And meaning that does the milk go back in the udder? No, meaning that the person who cries out of the fear of Allah sincerely, he will never go in the fire. He will never go in the fire. This is a means to be safe from the fire. So there are many verses reminding us, whenever Allah is advising us to fear Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many hadith likewise. Allah, He says, قُلْ إِن تُخْفُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ وَتُبْدُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you hide that which is in your breast, or you display it outwardly, then indeed Allah, He knows. And He knows that which is in the heavens and that which is in the earth. And Allah, He has the ability to do all things. Allah, He says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةِ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah, He knows the blinking of an eye and that which is in the chest and that which is in the breast. And Allah, He says, وَمَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah is with you wherever you may be, meaning by His knowledge. And Allah, He is ever watching all over you wherever you may be. And Allah, He says, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does He not know that Allah can see him? And a person, he should remember the likes of these verses whenever his soul is calling him to disobey Allah in public or in private, especially in private. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Do you not know that Allah can see? Does He not know that Allah can see? Yes, I know that Allah can see. Astaghfirullah. I'm not going to do that. Now, and then likewise, Allah, He says, أَحَسِبَ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَمْ يَرَاهُ أَحَدٌ أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ. Have you ever pondered over these verses? Does a human being think that nobody can see him? Does the human being really think that nobody see him? Is it not us who gave him two eyes? Is it not us who created him, provided for him two eyes, and given him a tongue and two lips? And do you not think that Allah can see you? He's the one who provided the eyes for you in the first place. So the one who provided for the eyes, you think he can't see you? No, he can see you. No, he can see you. Or the one who provided for you the tongue and the lips to talk, you think that he can't hear you? No, he can hear you. He can hear you. You think you're given eyes and a tongue and two lips for nothing? And you can look at whatever you like and never be asked to held accountable? Or you can say whatever you like and nothing's ever going to happen? Do you think that? تعالى الله الملك الحق. No, Allah is much higher than this. Rather, we're going to be held accountable for what we look at. We're going to be held accountable for what we say. We're going to be held accountable for what we do. This is a test. This is an amana. This is an amana. This is a trust. That which we look at, we will see it on the day of resurrection. That which we said, we will see it on the day of resurrection. It will be weighed. There will be scales that will be brought. And the judgment will be set. And the judgment will be set. So we have to work for that day and strive against our soul with our faith. With our faith, with our deen, with our shahada. To be good believers. To be upright and noble Muslims on the way of as-salaf as-salih. Inwardly and outwardly. Not just claims. Not just claims. Allah, He mentioned in His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ. And they are hiding from the people, but they're not hiding from Allah, and Allah is with them. And he's hiding from the people and not hiding from Allah. And Allah is with them. This is a lowly way, the way of the hypocrites. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in authentic narration, إِنَ اللَّهَ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُسْتَحْيَ مِنْهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. That indeed Allah, He has more right that you should be shy from Him than the people. So if you're going to be shy to act a fool in front of the people, or to do something that's out of character, or something that is considered a crime or a sin in front of the people, then you should be shy to do it in front of Allah even more. You should be even more shy to do it in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even more shy to do it in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to remember the day whenever the secrets will be tried. يَوْمَ تُبَلَى السَّرَائِرِ. The days when the secrets will be made known and the people will be exposed, and they will be held accountable and recompensed according to their deeds. With that, alhamdulillah, we have read the narration and a number of different benefits the people of knowledge they have mentioned with this narration. And we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity to gather with our brothers and sisters together for the sake of Allah, and to read the narrations of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to study the verses of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to read the narrations of our pious predecessors radiallahu
and whom, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His grace and His mercy to make the knowledge a light for us and a benefit and a proof for us and not against us. And we thank Him subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of His favors and bounties. And then likewise after that we thank our brothers here in Markaz ibn Umar for the great invitation and the hospitality, especially our noble and beloved brother Ismail ibn Farih, who I've known for some time. He's my companion in seeking knowledge in Medina, who used to be with me together, alhamdulillah, in the durus with the ulama. And he's from those people who I know very well, and I can say, inshallah, truthfully, that I love for the sake of Allah. And I love all of my brothers for the sake of Allah. Jazakum Allah khairah. And hopefully this is not the last time that we can meet and study together, but it was a great benefit, alhamdulillah. And we thank the brothers again for the invitation and the hospitality. May Allah reward them with good and increase them in good. And I encourage you to cooperate with the brothers here and to help them by attending the classes and to participate with them in learning and studying, and likewise to help them financially or whatever means that you have. You need with technology, you can help to spread the da'wah and to establish the deen in these lands. This is a great effort. Participate and cooperate with the brothers, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, you have a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, if there's any questions or comments or corrections, we can take them now. Barakallahu feekum. Okay. The question says, what are the ways one could change if we just started practicing in order to attain Allah's love? Where should we start? This is a very good question. We should start, barakallahu fikum, with seeking knowledge. Because it's not possible to rectify oneself or to attain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal without knowledge. Knowledge, it must precede every statement and action. This is a great principle and fundamental. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So you must start seeking knowledge, being diligent with regards to that, and being diligent with your time as well to seek knowledge. So to seek knowledge, but in seeking knowledge, you must seek from the proper sources. So when we say seek knowledge, some people think they're just going to go to YouTube and start going here and there. That's not what we're talking about. Seeking knowledge from the proper sources in the proper manner. And for the brothers and sisters here, we advise them to seek knowledge with Brother Ismail, alhamdulillah, and the brothers along with him. And the brothers along with him, and many of you, they know them, alhamdulillah, and I know them likewise. Muhammad Hassan also, he's around here in the neighborhood likewise. I know him as well. He's from the brothers that are also with us in Medina, alhamdulillah, and from the graduates as well from the Medina University. So seek knowledge with them, learn with them, come to their gatherings, listen to their recordings and the likes like this. Get advice from them where you should start, which books they have. They have the materials for this and the likes like this. And then to be sincere, and whatever you learn, you strive to apply it in your life. Whatever you learn about Islam, whatever you learn about the Sunnah, you strive to implement it in your life. And you move little by little, and step by step, and you show precedence to learning creed and belief, and then likewise that which you need to implement that from the obligations, beginning with tahara and salat, and in order to implement the creed, in order to implement the creed like this, and to move in this order, and Allah knows best. It says here, could we be off those whom Allah loves, if our past are of the worst? Could we be of those? Naam. I think what we want to say here, can we be from those whom Allah loves, even if our past was bad, or corrupt, or evil? Yani, many of the companions, the best of the people, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, they were pagans. They were pagans, and they became from the best of mankind. And others, maybe they were disbelievers and they accept Islam and they become from the best of the believers. Or maybe somebody before, he was a sinner and then he repented, he become from the best of the believers. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the past can be rectified in just a moment, and that is to repent from that and to be sincere, to repent from that and to be
and to be sincere and to work for the future, and to work for the future. So the person who had a bad past and he has remorse from that, he doesn't want to be involved in that way anymore, then he will just simply repent, alhamdulillah, and then take the means to avoid that way. So if a person used to have bad companions and bad friends, then he will repent from that and that way, and he will stop going around those people. So from the perfection or the completion or the means to actualize the repentance is that a person, he will leave those places that the sins used to occur and leave those people that the sins used to occur with and the likes like this. So a person, if he's truly going to repent, he must repent from that sin and leave those people that it used to occur with. So we can't go around the same people and expect to do something different. We can't go around to the same places and expect for our manners to change or to leave sins, and we're still hanging out with those same people. That we have to leave those people for the sake of Allah and those places, and go to the people of piety and righteousness in the places of goodness likewise. And this is also clarified in the hadith of the person who killed 100 people. So no doubt a person can become from the best of the believers, even if his past was the darkest and the worst of all past, alhamdulillah, and this is from the grace of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له. The one who repents from a sin is like the one who has no sin. So if we truly repent from any sin that we had, no matter what it was, Allah, He will forgive us. And that sin will be gone, alhamdulillah. And in this manner we obtain the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. They say, is there anything a person could look at as an indicator that Allah loves them? Yeah, these points that we mentioned previously, we'll look at those. Is he someone who strives against his soul? And whenever his soul calls him to do something that's contrary to the command of Allah, does he obey his soul or obey his desire? Does he obey his soul or do obey his desire? And also look at how much we know about the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how well we follow it. And how well we follow it. If somebody has no knowledge of the sunnah, no knowledge of the sunnah, then how could he follow it? And in order to have the love of Allah, we must follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we have great desire in our heart, great concern and love to learn the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to learn the laws and the legal ways of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the halal and the haram and the likes like this, and how to implement the deen of Allah properly with evidence from Quran and sunnah, understanding of the sahaba, if you have this desire in your heart and this love for this in your heart, this is a very good sign. And then likewise, if you're on that way and whatever you learn, you try to apply it the best you can, this is a very good sign that Allah loves you. It's a very good sign that Allah loves you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomever Allah wants good for, He'll grant him understanding in the religion. So the sign that we have desire to learn and we love to learn about Islam properly from the correct sources, this is a sign that Allah wants good for us. This is a sign that Allah wants good for us, and Allah knows best. Any other questions? No.
So we have the love for Allah and hate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the middle ground of if someone goes astray? Do I just hate him right away, or do I, give him nasiha, and if he rejects the nasiha, then do I hate him?
These are the details. There's a lot of details here. This is actually very important. Alhamdulillah, actually we discussed this many times in the masjid, because of the importance of this affair. So this issue here specifically, and many issues in the religion, they're not black and white. And this is a problem that many people have. They come to the straight path and they think the deen is black and white. So it's not necessarily like that in a lot of instances. Rather, there's a principle, and then there's circumstances and situations where that principle might change slightly. You understand that? Somebody might hear that principle and think that you run it down the field the whole way like that. No, there's certain circumstances where that might not be that the right thing, and it might change according to conditions of certain circumstances. So this is in general, but the love that we have for people is based upon what has preceded. So there are people that we love absolutely, and there are people that we hate absolutely, and there are people that we love and we hate them. There's people that we love and we hate them. The people that we love absolutely, we don't hate them whatsoever, the pious and righteous believers. And are they truly pious and righteous? That's with Allah. But what we see from them is that they're pious and righteous believers. What we know from them is that they're pious. Doesn't mean they're angels. What we see from them is they're pious and righteous, noble believers striving to obey Allah on the path of Allah, striving to follow the sunnah. These people here, we love them. We don't hate them at all. To despise them or to detest the likes of these people is a major sin. It's a major sin. You understand that? Then there's disbelievers who are clear disbelievers. We don't love them at all. We don't love them at all. But even then, the love here, we're talking about al-hubb al-muqtasib, the love that you earn, you gain. The love that's already there, you're not taking for account for that. The love of a man for his child, that's natural love. The love of a man for his wife, that's natural love. This one here, you're not taking account for that. You're not taking account for that. So we shouldn't misunderstand. Somebody has a mother who's a disbeliever, so I can't love her. No, how can you not love her? You can't help but love her. The love of a child for his mother, or the love of a mother for her child. Maybe somebody has a child that's a disbeliever. So, but he said in his heart he has love for him. That's a natural love. You're not held accountable for that. We're not talking about that type of love. We're talking about the type of love. You love him for his talk, for his walk, for things that like this, for what he's upon, the way he acts. You didn't know him, and then you know now you love him. You understand? You didn't know him, now all of a sudden love grow in your heart for this person. You earned that love. This one is not allowed for those people. For those people, and it becomes worse and worse and worse if those people are wicked, more and more wicked. You understand? So the disbelievers, we don't love them. The disbelievers, we don't love them. Then there's people who are believers that mixed their faith with deviation, either innovation or sin. So these people, we love them accordingly. So sometimes we love them and hate them at the same time. We love, I say, I love you, but I hate you. And it's for the sake of Allah. So if we love him for his sunnah, for his deen, for Islam, and we hate him for his sin, and we hate him for his sin, if his sin becomes greater and greater, we hate him more and more. More and more and more, according to his sin. If it's a little sin, then it's just little. The hatred is small. But if it goes to major sin, apparent sin, sin that's harming other people likewise, now it's a great hate. But still, even at that time, we should not go to extremes because he's still a believer and we still love him. Likewise, a person of innovation. The people of innovation, some of them are just affected by those people, they're awam. Then there's others who are callers to innovation. Right? So these people, we hate them for their innovation and we love them for their Islam. So people today, many of them, they go astray in this affair and they treat the innovators like disbelievers. They treat the innovators like disbelievers. Let me ask you this. Somebody who is Ikhwan Muslimun, he's a leader of Ikhwan Muslimun, for example, he's a big caller to Ikhwan Muslimun, or a big caller to Jamaat al-Tabligh, right? And he died. Is he going to go to Jannah? Huh? He died upon Islam. He's Jamaat al-Tabligh, he's a Jamaat al-Tabligh, but he died upon Islam. Is he going to go to Jannah? Huh? Yes or no? Yes, huh? That's the creed of Ahl Sunnah. This is very important. We're not Khawarij. We're not Khawarij, ikhwah. And we're not Murji'ah likewise. But the point is, no, the promise of Allah is true. Our creed is that anyone who dies upon Islam with a major sin, regardless of his major sin, his final destination is the Jannah. Will somebody enter Jannah whom Allah does not love? No. Will somebody have faith whom Allah does not love? No. There's no one who's a believer except Allah, he loves them. You understand that? You understand that? So even the Tablighi, Allah loves him. Or he would not be a Muslim. Right? But Allah, he loves individuals accordingly. Allah, he loves some believers more than others. He loves some believers more than others. But anyone who has Iman, then that's a sign Allah loves him. You understand? So maybe it's a little bit, maybe it's a lot. So the point is that even if he was from Jamaat al-Tabligh, even if he's Ikhwan Muslimun, right? But he died as a Muslim. In the end, he'll be in the Jannah. You understand? So we should not go to extremes with these affairs. So that means that Allah loves him. Right? So that means that we have to love him. So now how do we deal with it? So somebody who is an innovator, right? He's a Muslim. So therefore, he's from those people that we have to love him for his Islam and hate him for his deviation, or for his sin, or for his innovation. Right? So they come together. They come together. So there may be certain circumstances where this is true. But now the issue is not about this. This we check it with the legislation. So we're not going to treat an innovator like a kafir. We don't treat an innovator like a kafir. An innovator is better than a kafir. The issue here is not about that. After that's established, we don't go to extremes. It's about, do we display love? Do we display love?
That's another issue. Do we show love to the innovator? No. We don't show love to the innovator, right? But that doesn't mean we hate him absolutely. No, he's a Muslim, but we might not give him salam because he's an innovator. We might boycott him because he's an innovator. We might turn our back on him because he's an innovator. Because his innovation, and the hate that we have has reached to a point. But still, we will not go to extremes. We will not treat him, we don't consider him a disbeliever. We don't consider him a disbeliever. If he died, somebody's going to pray on him, not me. Right? Somebody's going to let his family pray on him. Somebody has to pray on him. Right? Not me. We can say that, right? You understand? I want the point to go to the heart so that we don't go to extreme. So yeah, we have to love every believer. We love every Muslim, and we love good for every Muslim. We love for the innovator to repent from innovation and follow the sunnah. We love for the sinner to leave his sin and to be obedient. We love that for him. But if they don't do that, then there are certain circumstances, well, we will not show them love. But in our heart, we have love for them. We have the minimum, we have the love that they deserve, that's legislated for them. He's a believer, he's a Muslim, he has the rights of a Muslim. If he sneezes, yarhamukallah, like this. If he gives salam, we give him salam. But it could come to the point where even we cut him off from that, depending on his harm. So now there's even more details to go to, because sometimes maybe his harm is great, but if you were to display display hatred to him, he may harm you more. You understand? Or bring harm to your dawah, or harm to your community. There's places in the West here where the innovators have the masjid, and you don't have nothing, and you have to pray in their masjid, right? So then, and the imam, he's making dua, he's doing these innovations that, you know, and if you display your hatred for him, then he's going to kick you out of the masjid. And you're not going to be able to pray the jama'ah. You're not going to be able to pray the jumu'ah. And then those other new Muslims who come to the masjid, they're not going to meet you. So you're not going to be able to talk to anybody. So now it's going to harm the da'wah, right? You have khair with you. You're salafi. Alhamdulillah. You're on the sunnah. So, and this time you have to make what's called mudarat. Not mudahana. Mudahana is whenever you back down for the deen. You back down from the deen to get the dunya. La, you make mudarat. You back down from the dunya to get the deen. So you just smile. Assalamu alaikum. How you doing? Alhamdulillah. Good. Barakallahu feek. That's it. And you go and pray, and if he starts giving a class, you leave and go somewhere else. Right? You don't go to his class. You don't, you know, you go to the khutbah. Alhamdulillah, you have to go to the khutbah. Like this. But if you display your hatred for him at this time, when they have power, they have numbers, they have authority, they're just going to humiliate you. And then the people are going to look at you like, yeah, he's upon falsehood. Nobody likes him. He's kicked out of the masjid. You can't benefit. You understand? So this is how it is. You have to look and weigh up the situation. Sometimes, if it's going to be beneficial to display that hatred, then one will display that hatred. You understand? And one will boycott him. But that's only in the certain circumstances when it's going to be beneficial, when it's going to be good. And other times you might have to just smile a little bit or give us a brief salam just to avoid a greater harm. To avoid a greater harm. And likewise dealing with the people of sin as well. So somebody, maybe he's your friend, and then he falls into sin. So the first thing you do is not to cut him off. The first thing to do is to advise him. Or he's your friend, he's your companion. Then he starts listening to deviant people. The first thing to do is not to cut him off. The first thing to do is advise him. And you don't advise him one time and say, I advised him. You don't send him a text and be like, I advised him. Some people, that's what they do. So to cut ties, that's easy. But to be patient with somebody, to advise them time after time, to hope good for them, to try to clear up their doubts, to try to strip that desire from their heart, to try to draw them back to the straight path, this takes effort. And time, this is difficult. This is what's required though. Because you want, if you were tried by that, would you want your brothers to drop you immediately? No, you wouldn't want that. So imagine your brother right now, if he's hanging on the edge, and he's hanging on the edge and he's about to fall. Would you, what would you expect to do? To go stomp on his fingers so he falls? Or to give him a hand to help him up? You give him a hand to help him up. So you give him a hand to help him up. Maybe he's like struggling, and then his hand gets loose. So don't just leave him there. You go back and try to give him another hand. You try to give him another hand, and time after time after time, until eventually he chooses his way, then you just turn away from him. There's nothing you can do. But the point is that in our days is times of gentleness. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned that, rahimahullah, these are days of rifq, because there's jahl, aril, great ignorance and great desires and great trials for a lot of people. May Allah not test us. But if we see people tried, we should have pity on them, especially if they are friends. Or we know them personally. In the likes like this, we try to help them. But if we start feeling endangered in our religion by trying to help them, we're not going to sacrifice
Man kana mukhathiran fala yukhathir bidini. Anybody who's going to take chances, don't take chances with your deen. So you want to help your brother, but doesn't mean you're going to go to the tablighi masjid with him, or you're going to listen to the khawarij with him, or you're going to go to the ball game with him. You know what I'm saying? That's just following desires like he's doing. No, you're going to advise him, you're going to talk to him, you're going to be listen to him, try to see what he's doing, keep reminding him time after time, little after little, and hopefully he goes straight. Make dua for him in the middle of the night whenever you're by yourself and the likes like this, you know? Make some effort and try. Make some effort and try. The fact that he's guided from you is better than the fact that you cut him off. But it might come to a point where you have to cut him off. Allahu a'lam. That's a long answer. It's important though. Afwan. Huh?
Is it possible to hit someone because of Allah?
Is it possible to?
Hit someone because of Allah.
To hit someone?
Because of Allah.
For the sake of Allah.
To hate?
To hate?
No.
Yes. Yes, we hate Abu Jahl. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and those upon his way. And we hate the Pope and the likes of them. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and anyone upon their way, alhamdulillah. It's wallahi bughd. Yes, no, we hate them. But the disbelievers, we have hatred for them. But this doesn't mean that we're going to harm them or we're going to cheat them, we're going to deny them their rights. No, we'll give them their rights along with hating them. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he says, indeed we smile in the face of people and our hearts curse them. And meaning that maybe in their society in those days they have Christians and Jews that have contracts and they live amongst them and they're kind to them and nice to them and give them their rights, but they hate them and what they're upon. And people should understand, this is something that's very easy if you just think about it. For example, right now, what is the most famous sport you guys have in Canada?
Hockey.
Hockey, right? This hockey is famous here?
In this crowd is basketball.
Huh? Basketball? You got Canadian basketball?
I'm beating hockey.
Huh? Okay. What, or football, right? The point is teams. You know teams? You guys got teams? Huh? Think about it. The teams, right? Football teams, basketball teams. This guy, he's got his favorite team. This guy, he has his favorite team. Sometimes they're rivals, right? This team hates that team. And the followers of this team hate that team. They have an allegiance. They have an allegiance for this team. He'll wear the same color of that team. His hat is the same color of that team because it's that team. He has an allegiance for them. I love this team. That's what he says. Though he loves this team. I hate that team. He hates that team. They have a wallah wa bara for a basketball team. They have a wallah. Wallahi, they have wallah wa bara for... You think I'm playing? Whenever I was in Egypt, the day that I left, it reached me news that there was a great massacre at a soccer game. Over 90 people died. Yeah, between Cairo and Port Said. The Cairo soccer team and Port Said soccer team. Cairo soccer team was expected to win. So they were defeated. The people had a riot and they're stabbing each other with knives. Yeah, wallahi, this is what they're crazy. Wallah wa bara for a soccer team. Instead, he's going to stab his Muslim brother in Egypt. In a Muslim country. They're crazy. They lost their mind. So the point is, here in America, they have a football team. And if, for example, you're in football, like Texas and Oklahoma, I'm from Oklahoma. Texas and Oklahoma, they hate each other. They hate each other. This college hates that college. This football team hates that football team. This basketball team hates that basketball team. They're rival. And those who follow them, they hate them. This one wears the OU, this one wears this one. Like this. They have enmity and hatred for each other. But they're not killing each other, they're not robbing each other, they're not cheating each other, they're not biting. But he doesn't like him. They might see each other, smile, how you doing at work? He's his boss and everything. He's his co-worker and everything. But he's like, man, football, yeah, OU, whatever. He hates him. He doesn't like him because of his football team, because of his wala' wa bara. You understand? So we have wala' wa bara for Allah. And we hate those who disbelieve in Allah. We hate those who disbelieve in Allah. Just like he hates the OU guy because he's Texas, we hate disbelievers because they're kafirs. You understand? Because they disbelieve in Allah. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to harm them. Doesn't mean I'm going to shed his blood. Nah, that's not lawful. This love is checked by the legislation of Allah. So it's incumbent to hate the disbelievers. And this is the great principle that they want to violate. They want to violate. They want to weaken. Because if this part here is weakened, it's gone. That's why they have wahdatul adyan. That's why they have interfaith dawah.
trying to make that Islam equal to their to the other faiths. Nah, this is not correct. Islam is not equal to them. Al-Islam ya'alu wa la yu'la alayh. Islam is high. It's high and nothing is above it. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على دين كله ولو كره الكافرون. So Islam is high and the Muslims are high regardless of what the people think. Regardless of what the people think. Naam.
We'll take the last question. تفضل أخي.
So in terms of the Ahl al-Bidah, is it like possible to, is it permissible to give charity on a mosque that is upon Bidah like?
No. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Cooperate together upon piety and righteousness. Do not cooperate upon sin and transgression. So the people of innovation, we don't support them. We don't help them. We don't give them a dollar. No, 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 we don't help them. Even if you have to pray in their messages, go there and pray, alhamdulillah, and leave and try to find another community to move to or to ask Allah to help alleviate you, but you don't support them. So you can't support their innovation. You can't support their deviation. You can't support what they're upon from falsehood. In any case, the people of innovation, they're really good at getting money. They don't need our dollars. Alhamdulillah. Right? You seen that? Big places, huh? Big masajid, big dollars. MashaAllah. Allah musta'an. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. جزاكم الله خيرا.